our meager possessions without ever looking inside anything. Goda and Doge rattled at one another in Yuang Bo and pretended not to understand the young man's accented Taglian. I shrugged and responded in Jaikuri at first, which is close enough to Taglian for the two peoples to understand one another most of the time. But here it only frustrated the young official. I had no desire to stand around gossiping with a functionary. I do not know about others. We have had nothing but decades of misfortune and suffering. We heard there were opportunities down here, so we abandoned the land of our sorrows and came. The official assumed I meant a particular country, as I had hoped, rather than recognizing that the land of our sorrows was the Vedna way of describing where a convert lived before he became acquainted with God. "You say there are many others doing the same as us?" I tried to sound troubled.
"Recently, yes, which is why I feared something might be afoot."
He feared for the stability of the empire to which he had attached himself. I could not resist a prank. "There were rumors that the Black Company had surfaced in Taglios and was warring with the Protector. But there are always crazy stories about the Black Company. They never mean anything, and they had nothing to do with our decision." The young man became more unhappy. He passed us through without further interest. I did not bother commending him, but he was the only official we had encountered since leaving Taglios who was making a serious effort to perform his duties. And he was doing it only in hopes of getting ahead. I never had to bring out the richly complex legend I have invented for our foursome, in which Swan was my second husband, Goda the mother of my deceased first spouse, and Doge her cousin, all of us survivors of the wars. The story would have played in any region where there had been any extended fighting. Splatch-cobbled family survival teams were not at all uncommon. I complained. "I worked on weaving us a history all the way down here, and I never got to use it. Not once. Nobody's doing their job." Doge smiled and winked and vanished into the broken ground beside the road, off to reclaim the weapons we had hidden before approaching the checkpoint. "Somebody should do something about that," Swan declared. "Next Viceregal sub-officer I see, I'll march right up and give him a piece of my mind. We all pay taxes. We have a right to expect more effort from our officials." Goda woke up long enough to call Swan an idiot in Taglian and Yuang Bo. She told him he ought to shut up before even the god of fools renounced him. Then she closed her eyes and resumed snoring. Goda had begun to concern me. She had shown less life every day for the past few months. Doge seemed to think she believed she no longer had anything to live for. Maybe Sara could get her going again. We should be joining up with the others before long. Maybe Sara could get her excited about rescuing Tai Day and the captured. I was troubled about consequences. All these years I had striven toward the undertaking we would launch before long, and now, for the first time, I had begun to wonder what success might really mean. Those people buried out there never were paragons of sanity and righteousness. They had had almost 2 decades to ferment in their own juices. They were unlikely to entertain much brotherly love toward the rest of the world. And then there was the guardian demon Shivetya, and, somewhere, the enchanted and unchained thing worshipped by Narayan Singh and the Daughter of Night, not to mention the mysteries and dangers